This is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Hey, welcome to Bob, Dave, and Moore. Dave Wyman and Jim Moore. We're trying to get Bob Stelton on the line here. And so before we get started, I just want to talk a little bit about maybe the best birthday I've ever had yesterday. Lots of well wishes from the texters, everything. But last night, Jim Moore had texted me and asked me for my address. And I'm like, no, you don't have to send me anything. It's fine. So, you know, I finally sent him the address. And so we're sitting there and we're just finishing up dinner. And all of a sudden I get a knock at my front door. And there is Jim Moore. Jim, with one of the biggest bottles of booze I've ever seen, hands me my Christmas present or my birthday present. And we stood there on the front porch, 5 to 6 feet away, and brought Mikey and Stevie and Kathy came up, and we all just had this social distancing little chat, and it was one of the best birthday presents I've received in a long time, Jim.
Well, Dave, we were just sitting here, and it looks like I'm having some connection difficulties, too, and hopefully Bob will get his figured out, but I thought, it's your birthday, and you...
Hey!
On your birthday, I'll bring something to you, and it's at work. And then I just thought, well, last night I'll get the kids out of the house. We'll stop by BevMo and pick up a bottle up there on the plateau and just drop it off to you and sing happy birthday. So, yeah, I mean, just different times, as we know, with what's going on with the coronavirus crisis. But just wanted to bring by a little good cheer on your birthday last night.
Well, are you there, Bob?
I think yeah. I am. Can you hear me?
There, I hear you. Yeah. How you doing?
Okay.
I was just telling everybody about the great birthday present that I got from Jim and him and his family. The boys, my gosh, I can't believe how tall Stevie and Mikey are now. But they stood there on the front porch and serenaded. Would love to have had you guys come in and open up the rather large bottle of booze that Jim gave me, but you just can't do that these days. So it was really awesome, nice surprise. And my son and his girlfriend and my daughter's at home, so we had a really nice night. And so it was a surprise to me, just because it's kind of a downtime right now. We haven't been able to be around a lot of other people other than on the phone and Zoom and things like that. So it was really cool, and it put a smile on my face. And like I said, it was one of the better surprises I've had in a long time.
That's awesome. So, Jim, you drove out to his house last night?
Yeah, we were just, the kids have been just hanging out here at the house. And I know you're supposed to stay home and stay healthy. But I figured if we just, went out for a little while and stopped by, BevMo up there on the plateau. And I knew that Dave was kind of on the farther north end of the plateau. And I just thought, well, why don't we stop by? Because, typically we exchange gifts there at the office and we haven't seen each other. And I didn't think there'd be any harm in just transferring a bottle of booze to Dave and singing to him. And we kept our distance and all of that. But and Shannon was really cute about it. She wanted to give us a hug, but knew that she couldn't. So, it was a fun night. And the kids appreciated getting out for a little while because, like everybody else, they've just been kind of housebound.
Well, more importantly, did you bring River so that Hoover would have somebody to connect with?
Well, River was in the back seat, and we saw Hoover, so that was cool. But River came with us, but we didn't let him go gallivanting out of the truck.
Well, that's a very cool move, Jim. That's very cool. Did you guys talk about what's coming up on the show? I didn't hear anything. They had been working on the lines before the show and didn't get it nailed down in time, so I'm not sure what you discussed to this point, but...
No, we didn't really talk about anything that we're going to talk about just yet. We just kind of recapped last night's activity with Jim and I, and I'll bet you that we might be talking about Jadeveon Clowney, Bob. That's going to be my guess, without even looking at the show sheet.
Yeah, it's going to be a topic, oddly enough. And we got a packed show for guests. We got Mark Ross joining us at 3:30 to talk a little bit of NFL. He's a former NFL executive and scout now for the NFL Network. So that's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Of course, John Clayton at 4 o'clock. Rasheem Green, who I know you are very excited to speak with, Dave, will join us at 4:30. And then Bob Glauber, who I can't remember if we've had him on this show or not, but I've known Bob since my days at Sporting News. He's a national football writer for New York Newsday. He's a doppelganger for Tom Crean. He looks exactly like him. He's really, really good. So he'll join us at 5 o'clock, talk some NFL with him. But the opening drive is brought to you by Cherish. And you're right, we will be talking about Jadeveon Clowney because earlier today, ESPN's Diana Russini tweeted, "As we continue to watch the market for Jadeveon Clowney, I am told by several sources the asking price has been moved off of the $20 million-plus number and is closer to the $17 to $18 million number. This could spark more interest. Also told the Titans and Seahawks are still interested." So I guess good news and bad news is how I initially looked at that. The good news is, okay, he's not delusional thinking he's going to get $21 million anymore. Bad news is he's lowered the price. Maybe that brings some teams into the competition that otherwise wouldn't be in there.
Yeah, that's I guess the bad news. But I mean, I really thought that they were going to have to pay that premium price for him. So this has been one of the bigger surprises and really mysteries. And I think more than anything, it's just because we saw him up close. And you know, I know that the defense was not good. They did not put up good numbers. But, man, when he was in there and feeling his healthiest, and I don't know how many games that I don't even know how he was able to play. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know what a sports hernia is. You know, I don't know if it's something in your groin or whatever. I know it's in your core. And so, you know, every movement, and you know this, if you have like lower back pain or any kind of like a hernia, like, you know, we used to have a classic hernia. I had an operation when I was 4 years old for a hernia because I tried to pick up this big, huge, heavy cement block for whatever reason. No idea why. But
you've been an animal since infancy.
Yeah, or an idiot. Anyway, yeah, I think it's, you know, whenever you have something going on in your core, and I'm making excuses for him, and I'm hoping that that's what it was, that he wasn't able to get, you know, to play at his peak. So, you know, that's become a lot of it. But boy, the times that he did play, I just was so impressed by him, and he's just one of those guys that catches your eye. You know, and I always describe players this way, well, a couple of ways. One is he's a guy that you have to have an extra meeting for, which I think he is, because he's a problem. But the other thing is he's one of those guys, when you watch a game, you run it back and go, where did that guy come from? And, you know, look at Earl Thomas is a great example of that he would cover so much ground. You'd see him lined up 17 yards deep, and now he's making a tackle in the backfield. So, yeah, that Clowney is that kind of player. So it's just been very surprising to me and very interesting, I think, what we're going to hear when this thing finally shakes out and when he finally gets signed. Maybe we'll, you know, get some of the details of what was going on with him, because, you know, if you ask me, I mean, other than you look at Ngakoue and they franchise tagged him in Jacksonville, he's the most talented defensive lineman and maybe the most talented player on the market.
Well, and Jim, before
it's
you jump
hard
in,
to
just
figure out what is
play the
oh,
cut.
Ahead,
I just want to play the cut from people. Cut number one. Here's Diana Russini. Her report about Clowney and the dropping of the asking price.
That $20 million asking price just seemed a little too steep for tons of organizations. Going back just a few weeks ago, obviously Tennessee was involved. Seattle, as we know, are involved now. But, you know, the Jets were interested at one point. The Cleveland Browns were even flirting a little bit with Jadeveon Clowney. But that price just was a little too much. So now it seems that they're at a number that would make more sense. It's definitely getting more tensions from teams. And now what we're going to watch is to see if those teams that were initially interested when that number was a little too high, if maybe they'll get back in on this. But for now, right now, we know GM John Robinson down in Tennessee was just on a conference call with reporters just about 30 minutes ago, and he said that he is in touch with Clowney's people, and they're keeping an eye. So as of right now, it looks like Seattle or Tennessee, but we'll see if more teams get involved, Wendy.
So Jim, it sounds like, you know, we talked about this yesterday, that, you know, we kept hearing reports that he wants 21, 22, whatever, and then we started hearing the opposite end. Oh, it's going to be more like 13 or 14, and I think we all sort of concluded the truth lies somewhere in the middle, and this appears to represent that. Now, you're a guy that's been not on board with bringing him back so much. Does this number help you at all? Does it change your mind at all? Or do you still look at that and say, you know what, 17 or 18 a year for Clowney's too much. I'd still rather option B, whoever that is.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly at 17 or 18 million, if you brought him back, yeah, I suppose that'd be more in my ballpark. I still am not seeing what everybody else is seeing as far as Clowney and how vital he is to that defense. I almost get the feeling like, boy, you know, Seahawk fans, everybody's so desperate. You got to have Jadeveon Clowney back on this defense. And I'm thinking, well, why is that? Because we saw that defense last year. We've talked about it over and over again. They were still 26th in the league. And I've mentioned that I think that they'd be hurt more by not having Diggs on the back end than they would have it, having Clowney missing from the front end. So, yeah, I mean, if he comes back, great. I know everybody would be happy. And I saw that one San Francisco game, too, and I know how terrific this player can be. And if he gets a full season injury-free, maybe we'll start seeing him getting closer to 10 sacks like he did 2 years down there in Houston. And I'm just not sure exactly where the price point is right now for Clowney, because we've heard, like you said, Bob, so many different things out there. Clayton talking 13, 14 million. Clowney's camp talking 20, 21. Now they're coming down, trying to get more offers. Sports Illustrated's Corbin Smith had talked about the Seahawks maybe making an offer of $18.5 million a couple weeks ago. And so now we're just kind of in limbo trying to see what Clowney's thinking. And we hear about Tennessee, the interest there. There's interest from the Jets, too. And both those teams have more cap space than the Seahawks. But both teams have a 3-4 defense for whoever's into that type of conversation. That prefers Clowney in a 4-3. You'd like to see him in Seattle, I suppose, and take advantage of that. But, yeah, it's going to be – I think it's heating up, though, and we'll see. Maybe the Jets are in on it. Maybe the Titans are in on it. But I would still say that the Seahawks look like the favorite to me.
Dave, where are you at with – I mean, Jim says, you know, I saw the 49er game. We all talk about him like that was the only game he really showed up and had an impact. I disagree with that. I think he's had a tremendous impact throughout the season, even though it didn't always result in sacks. That was obviously the outlier. That was the game where everybody had their eyes on him. I mean, you couldn't look away from him. But you've looked at just about every game. I mean, you isolated him game by game by game. I mean, talk a little bit about what you saw, because I feel like he kind of just gets thrown into that one game. He had one breakout game, and okay, that was great, but where was he the rest of the year?
Yeah, I just the way he comes off the line, how long he is, how hard it is. And this is the one thing, and I talk about this a lot in college. You know, when you're looking at a college player, look at the guy, you know, if it's a running back, look at the guy that's trying to tackle him. I mean, is he very good? Or, and then what's his reaction? I've seen some of the most desperate reactions from offensive linemen that are trying to block him. And that's one of the things that I look at. The other thing is that, you know, we talked to Willie McGinnis, and he said something about his swim move and that it takes him out of his gap a lot of times. That's not what I'm seeing anyway. And, I, you know, maybe McGinnis, he's probably watched him, I know, not as closely as I have here in Seattle, but probably more closely as a Houston Texan, and he saw that. But what I saw is that when he does do that, he gets right back down the line. He has a great sort of awareness of his, you know, space and where he needs to be, and he fights really hard to get back to where, you know, because in order to execute a swim move, sometimes you have to go laterally, maybe a yard or even two, but getting back down the line, you know, if it's in a way, he has a great sense for angles, and he understands that. So I don't see him at all as being any kind of a liability in the run game. And again, he's one of those guys that you have to prepare for. Like, how are we going to block this guy? And a lot of times, you know, the answer will be, hey, let's go straight at him. And, you know, he's been pretty stout at the point of attack. I don't see him getting blown off the ball. I did see a little bit of that from Unique Ngakoue. He's a little bit lighter guy, and he's not great against the run. Tremendous pass rusher, definitely. But, you know, for Clowney, just the overall effect that he has. And he falls into that category of a lot of defensive linemen where in order to really appreciate them and really understand, you have to go and watch what are they doing for other players. And, you know, being an old linebacker, I see some of those things, you know, and I've talked a lot about like Joe Nash and a guy named Alonzo Mitz, who Jim, you know, is the guy that he will tee off.
The one-handed golfer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, guys like that, that they just do these things and you're like, and I remember during film, like reaching up and tapping, you know, Alonzo Mitz or Joe Nash or whatever and saying, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. You know, you did a great job there because you're just allowing your teammates to make plays. And there's nothing selfish about the way he plays. And so, yeah, I just this is why, you know, the way I'm sort of gushing over him right now is why I'm so surprised that he wasn't in that first tier of signings. And the only thing I can think, and maybe this is bad news, is that it's his health. And he has missed a number of games. I mean, his rookie year, because was he the – he was a top pick in the draft. What was he?
Yeah.
Did he go number one? Yeah. So, I mean, he only played in four games his rookie year, then 13, then 14. He's really only played an entire season 1 year, and that was 2017. So he played in all 16 games. So that might be what it is. And again, that's probably bad news. But it just seems like these sports hernia things, they're able to get that, you know, fixed usually in the off season and then be good to go. It doesn't tend to come back and crop up like a bad knee or a bad shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, we had Robinson Cano here who played with a double sports hernia. So that's, you know, twice as much that I don't know about. Because I, like you, I don't know what a sports hernia is compared to a regular hernia. But, you know, Cano played a season with a double sports hernia, needed surgery, and then you didn't really hear anything about it after that. So I've got no doubts about his ability to bounce back. But I think questions about his health, and you just pointed it out, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, he's played one season where he's... You know, he's got 16 games. Every other season is 15, 14, 13, 13, 4. So he's missed time, and I think it's fair to be concerned about that. And maybe with the virus situation in place where teams can't fly you in, they can't have their doctors examine you, they can't put you through the physicals or whatever they need to do to sort of get a level of reassurance, yeah, then it's going to be problematic in terms of, you know, getting a number of teams to weigh in term, you know, commit that kind of money, even though it's less than what he wanted. That's still a fat chunk of money that teams are going to be much more conservative with the whole virus thing going on.
Well, are you guys, let me ask you guys this. Are you more encouraged by Diana Russini's report today of him coming down to 17 to 18 million? Because on the one hand, you're thinking, okay, that's more in Seattle's neighborhood of what they want to give him, but it also brings in other teams into the competition. So I'm not sure whether to be encouraged or discouraged.
Yeah, When I first heard it, I was kind of both. I was kind of like, oh man, that's good news for the Seahawks. I think they had an idea of what they were going to offer him. I don't know if it changes their approach at all, but you know, we heard rumor that they'd already made an offer. I don't know if that was actually true or not, but I feel like they just had their number they were going to stick to regardless of this news. But I do think it does invite maybe a team or two that otherwise would be sitting on the sidelines to say, okay, this is much more palatable. We might be able to make that number work for us.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some of these teams, and again, it's not just the play, you know, 3-4 versus 4-3. It's that, you know, if you're in a 3-4, then technically you're an outside linebacker, and then you're going to be worth less money as opposed to an edge rusher on a 4-3 defense. But I'm just looking at some of the teams that are 4-3. You know, Cleveland, Jim mentioned that yesterday. You know, and maybe that's the case. And maybe he wants like a longer term type of deal and they're willing to offer that. I don't know about you guys. I feel like whatever he signs here is going to be a shorter type of deal, that it's probably going to be like a prove it, because I got to believe that he's not happy. He's kind of shocked, like we all are, that he's not getting that top dollar. Or maybe you're not shocked. I don't know. Maybe some people don't think he's as good as I think he is. But, you know, maybe he's kind of angry about that and so wants to sign a shorter deal. And then maybe he can get another bite at the apple in a year or two and go back into the free agency market.
All right, let's take two.
It's time to take two. Brought to you by Infinity of Tacoma at 5.
Take two.
The NBA and the Players Association are having discussions on reducing player pay in the event season is canceled.
I don't know how any of this is going to work because, you know, teams sign contracts. I don't know what the specific language is in each of these contracts. If, you know, owners and organizations are allowed to say, okay, we're going to reduce your pay, you're not going to get paid at all. I feel like this is going to end up in some sort of legal entanglement where we've seen others just sort of willingly, you know, commit to reducing salaries for a period of time. I'm not sure how this plays out. I could see a fight between the association and the league at some point in this.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you, Bob, because I think you pay for a parking spot at the office. Do you feel that you should still be paying for your parking spot, or are you going to go to the company and possibly work out a deal? Similar dollars, you know.
I don't feel that. Yeah, you're right. I'm right in that. I can relate to all of these players. I don't feel like I should be paying for it since we're not allowed in the building. I don't think I'm being charged this month. I think they give us a 1 month reprieve, but I'm not sure what happens moving forward. But yeah, I'm going to take that fight up with them, Dave. I don't feel that's fair.
Well, I mean, even if they prorate the contract, I mean, these salaries in the NBA, I mean, it's kind of funny because I see baseball salaries and NFL salaries, and I don't really bat an eye over it. But some of these guys in the NBA that are averaging 10 points a game and the millions they're making, so I think they're going to be okay if they just prorated things and just call it good from there. But honestly, I don't even care what those guys are getting or how that whole situation is resolved. I'm sure they're all going to be fine once all is said and done with that.
UW freshman Isaiah Stewart announced his decision to enter the NBA draft this morning.
Probably the least surprising news, right? And I know, Jim, you spent a lot of time watching the Huskies, and everybody, he was the guy you watched. Isaiah Stewart was the bright spot in a dreadful season for the team. And I don't think anybody who watched that team, and him specifically, was under any illusion he was coming back for another year of college.
Yeah, it's
weird. Yeah, just a terrific player. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Well, it's just everybody saw what a terrific player he is and such a great kid, too. And he thanked everybody today and how coming from the East Coast, how everybody was so welcoming to Seattle. And I'm sure he's going to have a great NBA career ahead of him. And then we'll see what Jaden McDaniels, whether he's going to come out or not. I'm sure that's the next thing that we're going to hear, that he'll enter the draft, too. And then we'll see what Mike Hopkins could do next year.
Yeah, Stewart just always looked like a man among boys out there playing. And it's just interesting to me that now Washington, this program, is starting to get the one-and-done guys like Markelle Fultz, you know, and it's just I'll tell you what, Hopkins must be a hell of a recruiter. It's just too bad that he couldn't get those guys all playing in the same direction.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, we're going to get the thoughts on whether we're going to see a Clowney deal soon or if it may drag on for a while longer from a former NFL executive and scout, NFL Network's Mark Ross, will join us next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Well, we get a chance to talk a little more football now with a man who does great work for the NFL Network. He's a former NFL executive and a scout, and he's with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. He is Mark Ross. Mark, how are you, my friend?
Great. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We really appreciate you taking some time with us, and hopefully everybody on your end of things is healthy and safe right now. Want to get your thoughts on Jadeveon Clowney and just before we get into the numbers that we're hearing and who might sign him, who might not. What's your view of him as a player? Because there's debate out here as to whether he's truly impactful enough to pay 18, 19, whatever the number ends up being. He had 3.5 sacks yet. You know, others like my co-host Dave Wyman, who played in the league for 9 years, you know, breaks down game tape and says, you know, it's more than sacks. The guy is a presence. He's disruptive. You have to account for him. So there, his value sort of lies in there as well. Nationally, and in just your opinion, how do you view a player like Jadeveon Clowney?
Well, the concern with Jadeveon is that he's been so inconsistent for so long. You know, when a player, you like to see their strengths be strengths for a long time, or their weaknesses if they're concerns. And Jadeveon, if you remember coming out of college, that was a concern with his, is that he shows up sometimes, he's impactful sometimes, other times he disappears. And he's kind of continued that trend in the NFL with Houston, now with you guys. So I think that's one of the major reasons why he hasn't gotten the big money offer that he was looking for, is just because of the, I'd say, the consistent inconsistencies throughout his career, to go along with the injury factor as well, where he's been consistently injured throughout his career going back to college. So I think those are two major concerns that people have with Jadeveon and paying him big money.
Yeah, and especially now, Mark, because you can't give, you know, physicals, and there's a problem with that. Is that also maybe a little bit of a factor? Is he one of those guys that teams really want to look at first before they pay him? Could that be slowing it down for him?
Yes, most certainly. You know, teams can call the different team doctors and physicians with the team just to check on him. But someone that's had a lengthy injury history, you definitely want to have your own team doctors and trainers get their hands on him, just so you're 100% sure it's not someone you're paying minimum and you just want to sign and there's not a big investment. Someone that you're looking to pay this much money to, you want to make sure everything is 100% fine and you're 100% sure of bringing him in, and you know, you don't sign him to this contract and then all of a sudden, you know, he's hurt again.
Hey, Mark, thanks for bringing up that factor about him being inconsistent. We heard that from Willie McGinnis of the NFL Network, too, and it seems like every time I question Clowney and whether you want to pay him as much as he wants, it's, you know, like, oh, man, you know, I'm an idiot for saying stuff like that. And I just, I don't know, I just think there's different reasons why no one has stepped up to the plate and offered him what he wants to this point. And what were you, Mark, if you were a GM in the NFL, what would be a fair price? What would you give him right now?
Well, I just saw that he already dropped his number down. So I think on Seattle's, you know, that I think the longer they wait, the better the position they're in. And Jadeveon will kind of come back to them at even a lower price now than he's asking. I think he dropped it to 17, maybe going to the 15, 16 range. So I think Seattle's kind of in a good position right now if they want him back. And so they, you know, they signed Bruce Irvin, but you know, certainly Bruce is up there in age and can't be the impact he once had. So I think this might be looking good for the Seahawks.
Well, Jim, you're definitely an idiot, but that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Hey, you better watch out. So, I'll take that bottle back that I brought you last night.
Yeah, that's right.
I take it you guys aren't in the same room together making comments. Like
no, that, right? That's right. Yeah. Yep. We're taking shots from afar here. But hey, you also recently talked a little bit about interior defensive linemen. And, you know, and I've always said that, you know, I love those guys, but you're always going to pay the guys on the outside a little bit more. But as you noted, the sort of interior defensive line market was a lot faster. And, you know, tell us why that is, and then tell us, you know, what you think about Jaron Reed and the Seahawks signing him.
Well, I think this year, you know, the market set the value for the interior defensive lineman, where you saw those guys get paid and they got signed really fast. So I think the teams around the league just felt more comfortable with those guys being able to create an impact, and were a lot more uncertain about the Jadeveon Clowneys of the free agency signing period. And also the Aaron Donald effect, where everyone's looking for that now, where there's, you can see, well, you don't always have to get the pressure from the edge. Maybe we can get it inside as well. So I think that's what happened this year with free agency, with just a strong group of interior guys, an uncertain group of edge guys, and also seeing there's a different way to get the pressure from the inside. You know, I think Reed, anytime you get a guy to go back to a team and you have that comfort level with a player, and he has that comfort level with you, I think that's always a win for a team and a player.
Mark Ross of the NFL Network is our guest here. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Mark Ross, and that's Mark with a C, MarcRoss. Also, 30-minute editions of NFL Total Access are airing Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific time on the NFL Network, so make sure you check those out. Hey, Mark, a couple of guys we've talked about as potential trade options, and I don't know how realistic it is or isn't, but I want to get your take on Yannick Ngakoue. He's a guy who's made it very, very clear he does not want to be in Jacksonville. I'm wondering, from your perspective, what he's worth. We've talked about, okay, maybe it's a first and a third, or first and a fourth they'd want in exchange. Or what do you think the price tag would be for him? And does him coming out and saying that on Twitter, saying, hey, let's just agree to go separate ways, I don't want to be here, does that impact their leverage, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's interesting what's happening down in Jacksonville, where you've seen so many of their key players from 2-3 years ago when they went to the playoffs, and now they're pretty much all gone but him. And a lot of them created, you know, Jalen Ramsey certainly set the blueprint for Ngakoue to say, you know, let me talk my way out of this situation. I'm not happy here. They're not treating me right. So I think he's trying to follow that the Ramsey blueprint of expressing his unhappiness and hopefully getting out of there. It definitely is going to take a one plus something. You know, he's a premier pass rusher in the league. This free agency period, like we talked about earlier, there's not a lot of those guys. So I think a one at Jacksonville at this point, it looks like they're building, rebuilding at this point. So it might be best for them to actually recoup some picks for him as opposed to hold him on. And then you have a bad situation dragging on into the season, which you certainly don't want. And especially the guy might be your best defensive player.
Hey, Bob, you're the one who brought up Jacksonville, so it's tailor-made for my next question as a follow-up.
No, Mark, for the love of God, man.
No, no.
I'm a big...
Jeez.
Mark, I'm Good a big Lord. Gardner Minshew guy because he went to Washington State, and Jacksonville looks like they've committed to him to be their starting quarterback. Do you think that was a good move on their part or not?
How close are you with Gardner there? No, I just... it was fun what he did last year, and he got early a couple games, and then people kind of got some tape on him. But and then you figure a guy out. So I think Gardner would be an excellent backup. I don't think you're going into the season with Gardner Minshew saying we're going to make the playoffs or be a consistent playoff caliber team for years to come. He's the perfect guy for what he kind of did last year. If you're struggling and your starter gets hurt, go play a couple games, create some magic, and then go sit back down. You know, kind of a talking about magic, maybe a young Fitzmagic, like a young Ryan Fitzpatrick type of player, I think his career will kind of end up as opposed to a frontline starter who you're going into each season thinking you're going to compete in the playoffs.
Well, that's Mark, not really what I wanted to hear from you, Mark.
Yeah, that's exactly what we needed to hear.
You can put me off the show now. That's good. I'm sorry.
Mark, I think you did a great job, and I think Dave agrees. You were great. Jim's probably never going to want you on the show again, but we really appreciate you. In all seriousness, thanks so much for taking time with us, man. We really appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure.
All right, there you go.
Mark Ross
can
come back anytime.
Anytime.
No, that's the last time we have him.
He's a truth teller. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Ross, Mark with a C. Ross on Twitter. All right, coming up, the lack of sports has certainly led to some re-airings of classic games in every sport. We've aired them here on 710 ESPN Seattle. You've seen them all over. What are your favorites that you've seen so far? You guys can text in 710-710. Any classic game from any sport you've seen, what's been the favorite so far? We'll share some of ours next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and More on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the Professor John Clayton will join us on the show as he does every day. The question for you guys, and you can text in to 710-710. That's our text number. Obviously, no live sports happening right now, so a lot of the networks, whether it's ESPN or Fox or any of these channels, are replaying classic games, whether it's from this season, last season, a decade ago, whatever sport you're watching. What's been your favorite so far? Your favorite event you've had a chance to revisit because of these rebroadcasts? And I'll ask you guys the same question. I actually watched the replay of a game that everybody got so upset about. He got so up in arms over this game, and I thought it was such nonsense at the time, and it's proven to be nonsense. That's the Rams and Chiefs. They scored 105 points in that game, 54-51. Rams beat the Chiefs. I thought that game was awesome. because you never see that. It doesn't happen. That's why it was such a talking point. That's why it was such big news, because you just don't see a game like that in the NFL. I mean, you had 10 touchdown passes between Mahomes and Jared Goff in that game, and I know defensively, as a defensive guy, Dave, you probably didn't love it, but man, that game was so wildly entertaining. I loved it, and I loved watching it again.
It was awful, Bob. It was absolutely an abomination. Defensively, my God. You know, the only good thing that happened in that game is that Samson Ebukam, a linebacker for the Rams, scored two touchdowns. He had actually a fumble recovery and a pick six. But, the only reason why I was, you know, kind of critical of the whole thing, something that was going on at that point was everybody's like thinking that this is the new NFL. And by the way,
everybody thought that's how it was going to be played.
Right. And the Super Bowl that ended this year in 2018 was what, 6-3? You know, whatever the score was. Yeah, the Patriots. It was a thing of beauty, Bob. Yeah. So, wasn't that the game where they were supposed to play in Mexico City and they had to schedule
it
in Los Angeles? Yeah. Yeah, so because the field down there was such a mess. So, but yeah, I was just looking at the numbers: 455 yards put up by the Rams, 546 yards put up by the Chiefs, and Mahomes threw for 478 yards, six touchdowns.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill had over 200 yards receiving.
Yeah, he had 215 and a couple of touchdowns. So, yeah, that was an interesting game, and I wish I had seen that one. Really, the only thing that I've seen, I have to be a downer here. The one I really liked watching, believe it or not, was Super Bowl 40. They replayed that, and that's the one where the Seahawks get jobbed. I know, but I loved talking to Lofa about it and just going through and looking at, like, man, if they hadn't had their third string safety in there, you know, that, I mean, that guy, Lofa told us the other day, Ettrick Pruitt had not practiced at all. And so, you know, that was a guy that just got thrown in there, and now you're down to your third string safety. And then just watching, you know, Lofa play, and that defense was really a pretty good defense. And, you know, that was kind of interesting to me. The other one I really liked, for whatever reason, and I enjoyed the heck out of the trip to Pittsburgh this year, but when they won in week two out there, and that was where Russell through, you know, what was he, like 29 for 35. He got sacked like three or four times in the first half, comes back in the second half, and then, you know, you had the touchdown catch by DK Metcalf. So, yeah, that one was really fun for me to watch too. But that, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of those. I just really enjoyed that game. And then, believe it or not, yeah, Super Bowl 40.
Yeah, I, what about you, Jim? I don't want to be a downer either, but I really enjoyed WrestleMania, Bob, from 4 years ago when it was held at Jerry Jones Stadium. And they had over 100,000 people there. It was just, you know, so strange to think about right now during our times now with you know, the thought of maybe having games without fans and then just seeing 100,000 people crammed in to watch WrestleMania. And so I enjoyed that. And then another downer thing probably to a lot of people, I enjoy watching old golf tournaments on the Golf Channel because you're still seeing players hit shots. And typical of me, I forget who won these tournaments anyway, so I just pretend I'm watching them live and don't know the outcome, so I enjoy that. But out of everything that I've seen so far, probably to see and hear Dave Niehaus and Ron Fairley again, it's really fun. You know, some of the old-time Mariners, you know, and not that old-time from 5-10 years ago or whatever. You know, it's good to see those guys too, but more than anything else, Dave Niehaus and Ron Fairley, it's been fun to see those guys again.
Yeah, it's text coming in on that. Some 206 says 95 Mariners-Yankees Game 5 was on MLB Network this morning. Somebody else saying really enjoyed the WWE replays of pay-per-view events like WrestleMania and this year's Royal Rumble, so you're not alone, Jim. Others saying that Felix's perfect game. Another saying 360 rewatching the 2013 Seahawks season, and I'm loving it. Somebody watching the Roger Clemens 20 strikeout game, 1988 World Series. So it's Listen, it's not preferable, right? You don't want to sit there and you want something live. You want something that's got, you know, consequence attached to it. We know, except for Jim, we know what happened in these games of the past. But it's at least something that you can cling to for a moment, for a short period of time while we're in a downturn here and we're waiting for sports to resume. It is something to sort of jog the memory, go, you know what, that was – what, regardless of the event, that was awesome. I loved it then, and I love it now. I just think it's a very cool avenue for people in a really down time, and it's cool that I know they have to fill programming, but I think it's great for sports fans.
Yeah, right now getting some texts about, of course, Super Bowl 48. I mean, if you were a Seahawk fan in that game, I mean, you pretty much just sat back and just had fun. I mean, it was the game was up for grabs for what, probably 4 or 5 minutes, something like that. I mean, and that, you know, the crowd noise there when the ball got snapped over Peyton Manning's head, and you know, and then yeah. If you had any questions at all, the opening kickoff in the second half was just that whole trip, Bob, and you and I also a lot of it. We had so much fun in New York.
It was the best.
And hanging out there.
Best.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember what our schedule was. We'd do like 2 hours in the morning, I think, and then we would go, and you and I'd go to lunch every day, go to different places, you know, went to Greenwich Village and all these different places,
yeah.
And then we came back and did the afternoon show, and then there was always something going on at night, so it was just a blast, that whole thing.
Yeah, that couldn't have been more. The only thing that would have made that trip better if it was warmer. Because it was ice cold.
Yeah.
That was Arctic there. But that was literally the only negative to that entire trip. All right, coming up, we're going to discuss the latest in the Cloudy Watch and everything else going on in the NFL with the professor, John Clayton, who joins us next. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.